This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are on the air. Today is Wednesday, the 30th of March, 2011, and we should have a very, very interesting show this evening for you. Fascinating individual, Keith Hunter, will be with me in just about 5 minutes. Hopefully that will all work out and we will be connected. I believe he's in the UK, and he's written a very interesting book. And it is called, hold on one second here, The Lost Age of High Knowledge. I'm actually reading it. I was reading it right before the show, and he's been investigating some of the things that Bruce Cathy came up with to do with the Earth grids and the Philadelphia experiment, the location of, for example, a nuclear power plant such as the nuclear power facility in Israel in the Negev Desert, and the fact that that is not accidental. And how it corresponds to the ley lines, to the planetary configurations, and that those kinds of configurations and precessions of the planets can actually cause things like earthquakes, can make nuclear detonations possible or not possible, and how that factors into what's going on right now. And I'm going to talk to him also about Japan. Should be absolutely fascinating. What's interesting is that his background is not conventional in terms of he's writing a book that contains quite a bit of what I think in some ways could even be called hyperdimensional physics. It does not appear that he has even a physics background. He seems to be fairly self-taught as far as I can tell. He basically says he's educated to university level and has no qualifications in the physical sciences such as physics, mathematics, or any advanced degree. So he's more based in the social sciences, and maybe this allows for his freedom of mind. He did get a BA from the University of Leeds, it looks like in psychology, sociology, with honors, graduating with honors. So we will be right back with Keith Hunter.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride Flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
You're listening to the Future of Talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we are on the air, and Keith Hunter is with us. Keith, are you there?
Yes, Carrie, yes.
Okay,
how are you?
I'm very well. How are you? Yeah,
not too bad.
Okay, and you are the author of a book called The Lost Age of High Knowledge, a very sophisticated piece of work, I have to say.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I know it looks like it's full of tons of mathematics, but what I've tried to do is, and there are lots of areas that, I say, on your show, lots of people have gone into things like Stargates, and they've looked at advanced technology and the ancient Stonehenge and that, and aspects of astrology, numerology, and sacred geometry. And what I attempted to do was try to find out, ultimately, was an investigation to determine if these number systems, like the ancient Babylonian and New Sumerian systems, were really physically significant, physically energetic, and there was more to the numbers, a high physics behind it. And that's the angle I took. It was an investigation to determine that, ultimately, and that's what the book's about.
Okay, well, what I'd like you to do is talk a little bit about your background. I do want to say that your book, I am reading your book, but I'm sort of skipping over the mathematics just because that isn't my strong suit, although I did notice that you're emphasizing the basis of the 10 number system, and that there's some interesting cross correlations also between yours and Bruce Cathy's work. But I was particularly interested when you wrote me a letter and told me that the location of the Israeli nuclear power plant wasn't an accident. And I want to go into all of that, along with the Philadelphia experiment and the precession of the planets, the earthquake triggering that you think you've landed on,
yes,
as well as the ley lines and so on, because this – I think I do think you're breaking new ground here, and I have to say kudos to you for that. I haven't heard anyone else make quite these link ups, if you will, and so if we can start with again your background, because it's very interesting that you don't have sort of a more scientific background.
That's right. I got into all of this really about 1998. I'd just left college, and the degree I did was not science based in, well, this was not in the physical sciences. It was a BA with honours in the social sciences, about two thirds psychology, one third sociology. But it was mainly after leaving that, I just got into, I saw books, almost on the bookshelves by accident, and some of the first books I bought that set me going were, in fact, The Hiram Key by Christopher Knight and Robert Lomas, and Graham Hancock's book, Fingerprints of the Gods, another book called Mayan Prophecies. And I've kind of touched on a lot of the areas in those books, so I've got a bit of an interest in Gnosticism as well, and that side of things and the mysteries, as well as looking at things like calendar things as well. But what I also picked up a copy of it was Nexus magazine, and it was around, let's say, the late 90s. And I saw the works by Bruce Cathy, and they were very intriguing works. And I bought three of his books. And he was concerned with, as I say, ancient measurement system. He was concerned with the validity, if you like, of degrees, minutes, and seconds of arc, and how they related to the Earth and Earth measure, which the very word Earth measure, that's what geometry is. And he was trying to tie up this mathematics to secret military installations, ancient structures, and the physics behind some of these experiments and things we all hear about, that, you know, like the Philadelphia experiment and so forth. And he was trying to tie those things together. And he was saying that the mathematics and how they are connected is important, and it is based ultimately upon this ancient system used, the progressions used by the Sumerians and Babylonians. And I basically advanced on his work, because I think there's a few errors in some of the things he's done, and I corrected those. And what I ultimately did, it took 10 years worth, 10 years of investigations, and that's how long it took me to write this book and put it all together. It just went on sale about last year sometime. It was a culmination of all my discoveries. And what I found was the ancient myths that the Earth once had 360 days per year. I could physically prove that. I could physically prove with laws of proportion that at the same time the moon had 30 days per month, that the other ratios related to the Earth-Moon system and the Earth-Sun system, that again were backed up or noted in ancient literature, that they were there. I mean, I'll give you a couple of basic examples. I mean, the Hindus, they had a rosary, and this is a citation I read on the internet, and they have 108 beads. Yeah, 108 beads. And they said that was how many times the diameter of the sun fits into the radius of the Earth orbit about the sun. Now, if you just take the radius of the sun, that fits into the radius of the Earth orbit 216 times. So when you look at degrees, you've got 360 multiplied by 60, 21,600. So you've got 216. You've got that ratio there. And if you take the radius of the moon orbit, the mean distance there, that's practically 60 times dead on the equatorial radius of the Earth. But they're all slightly off. If you check the mathematics and all our observations today, all these ratios are just slightly out of sync. And I came up with and discovered some very elegant physical laws based on combinations of powers which could back transform the whole system and show how it was once in a state of extreme harmony, very elegant, and all in line with all these ancient calendar systems and the values. And I ultimately reconstructed the whole solar system, which is what is in the book that you've got.
Okay, no small feat of reconstructing the whole solar system. So you basically have come across this this discretion in the, well, what I would say maybe is even the tilt of the axis having been affected. And I wonder how you're accounting for all of that.
The tilt of the axis, which, you mean the Earth axis?
Or? Yes, but from what I understand, I'm basing this on the work of Ashiana Dean, and you may not be familiar with her work, but There is a there is said to be something about the tilt of the axis of the Earth that is off, and has to do with the rest of the solar system as well, and that supposedly it's going to be put right again. And that will have to do with some of the Earth changes that are coming in the future. Now, I don't know if you go down that road because I haven't investigated your work thoroughly enough. But you are basically saying that there is a discrepancy in the mathematics, that at one time it was, as you say, a very elegant arrangement, but that now it's off. So what put it off, in your view?
That's a good question. When I say it was all radically transformed, the transformation was not random, but it was absolutely precise, and it was based upon a master ratio, which is tied into a certain geometrical constant. And I'll give you, if I might just give you a little bit of math. What I discovered was that our mathematical system of imperial measures, feet as we use them, and inches and fathoms, fathom being 6 feet, these are absolutely validated and tied in to the orbital period of the Earth, to an exacting standard. Now, the tropical year period is 365.242184 days, so we've got that very accurate. And one of the things I did was this. I took the distance from the centre of the Earth to the centre of the Moon, the mean orbit, which is the semi-major axis. And if you express that in fathoms, right, what I did, I divide fathoms by 1,000 to shorten it, and I call these units ideal geographical miles, and they are precisely 6,000 feet, right? And if you express that mean distance, right, it's 210,194.663, and that's using a most accurate value for that distance, and it's believed by bouncing laser beams off the Moon, so we know this is a standard orthodox value. This, no one would disagree with that. And what I found was this: if we take the ratio of change for the Earth's tropical year, 365.242181, and divide it by 360, right? If we then use that, we raise that to the fourth power, that is, multiply by itself four times, and then cube root it, right? The value we get, right, doing that very equation, the rate is 1.0194624. Now, it turns out that very numeric sequence is accurate to 7 places after the decimal point, to a very interesting geometrical little arrangement. And imagine you've got a perfect cube, and inside it sits a sphere. And the sphere touches each of the 6 sides perfectly. Now, if you do a basic mathematical equation of the volume of the cube divided by the sphere, right, what you'll get in doing that, it'll be something like 1.9098593, and it all goes on in kind of a random sequence. And the reason why is because in the formula for a sphere, right, we use pi. Yeah, the volume of a sphere is the diameter cubed times pi times by 1/6. But what I did was, I didn't use pi. I used 22 divided by 7 as a fraction. Now, some people say this is an approximation, but it's not. It is not an approximation of pi. It is altogether qualitatively different. If you use that in place of pi in the volume for the sphere, and you do the division sum, what you get is 1.909090 all the way, nice and beautiful. Now, what you then do is, you divide that by 100, which is just like shifting the decimal point across, and then you subtract your answer, right, from 1. And if you do that, right, what you've then got, if you look at the sequence, is 0.980909. Well, if you that fraction right there is in fact the fraction 1,079 divided by 1,100. If you turn that upside down, that is, do 1 divided by, so it becomes 1,100 divided by 1,079. The sequence you get right there, 1.0194624, is exact to 7 places as you get from transforming the Earth's tropical year change by that 4 and 3 power I just mentioned earlier. But what is even brilliant as well is that if you look back at the sequence of numbers for the equatorial, for the radius of the moon orbit, that I said earlier it was 201194.66. If you get that 2 aside and you look at the sequence, it's 101946. It's identical. So these three things together, it tells you that that ratio there is connected. And if you do take the standard value for the mean moon radius and divide by that 1.0194 value, what you end up getting is a value which, if you multiply by 2 to get the diameter, and then by 22 divided by 7, you get the very value that we use in minutes of arc, which is 1296000. Am I blinding you with maths here, Kerry?
Okay, yes, I have. And I have to say that sounds very interesting, but I do not see how that relates to my question.
So if I might simplify, then what I'm trying to basically say is that the value of the change for the Earth year from 360 to its current value, right, that ratio there is related through various combinations of powers to all the other changes to the extension of the moon orbit away from the Earth, changes to the size of the moon, the size of the Earth, the distance between the Earth and Sun, and even all the other planets. I realize that mathematical bit is very elegant, but it is a bit complex to explain. Ultimately, what it does, though, is it validates imperial measures. Our system of distance units... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, it may validate it, but still, how does it account for... I mean, in other words, are you able to then extrapolate what happened in order to make... to throw the sort of mathematics off slightly, or how did the 365 days of the year then come if we used to have 360? In other words, are you working on an expansion of the Earth? Is that part of your thesis or not?
Well, the Earth does expand. In fact, the expansion of the Earth physically is directly proportional to the change in the tropical year. If we increased our tropical year...
I would imagine. That much I can figure out.
Yeah. As far as what ultimately, through all the values out of alignment, some cosmic principle that... I couldn't say I know what it was, but it did alter everything, and I couldn't even begin to think what exactly the state of... the universe itself would have been like under the ideal system. I mean, it might have been a system at rest in some odd way. And that's due to certain theories put forward by Walter Russell. You'll have heard of the work of Zechariah Sitchin. He mentioned this number 3600 in Sumerian literature. Now, obviously, that's just 10 times 360. And he said it referred to a perfect cycle or a completed circle, right? Now, 3600 also in degrees Celsius refers to the maximum melting point of the atom carbon, right? Now, Walter Russell was another scientist from the early 20th century. He mentioned carbon. He said this is the maturity point. A formed carbon atom is a perfect sphere. And he says when it hits that, it becomes a point of stillness. And interestingly enough... Yeah?
And we are a carbon-based system.
Yeah, and I think...
Or Earth.
Yeah, some people have actually said that the Earth itself may well be a gigantic carbon atom, effectively. And I know there's been some grid systems put forward, a dodecahedron, an icosahedron embedded within the Earth. I think that was a Russian model put forward. And they seem to suggest the Earth was a kind of a giant crystal. I think it's a carbon-60 atom that they actually put it as. So again, we've got numerical significance there.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think David Wilcock would be very interested in discussing this with you as this dovetails with some of his work. Are you familiar? familiar with his work?
I am. I've sent him a copy of my book. So he's already...
I'll remind you to read it. Coming right back after this commercial.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, and my doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand. Leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Dark, funny, and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis. Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
You raise up your head. You ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you.
Gary Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Keith Hunter. Very, very interesting author, and I'm going to turn my volume up here. Anyway, so Keith, on the other side of the hour, we were just finishing up a discussion, and I think I asked you a question. Do you want to answer it?
Which one? Just remind me.
Okay. Otherwise, we can just sort of backtrack, because what I would like to talk about is one of the things that you said to me, which is very tantalizing, which has to do with these sort of nuclear weapons and the Negev plant, the location of the nuclear reactor, and the fact that the nuclear reactors, possibly even military installations such as at Pine Gap, are situated on these ley lines that then correspond to processional placement of the planets and so on. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, not so much perception. You know what I said? The imperial measures are essentially validated. If you want to, I'll tell you exactly, for example, how the US established the Pine Gap location, right, relative to the Menwith Hill one. Now, just to give you an indication, Menwith Hill is located in North Yorkshire, here in England. I'm in South Yorkshire. And the coordinates given for it are about 54 degrees north and about 1 degree 40 minutes west. Now, here is how they set up Pine Gap. Remember, Menwith Hill was built, established 1954, and the US went to the Australian government and they said to them, we want to set up some really peaceful joint space mission, whatever station. I think there's some kind of term they use for it. It seems so innocent, it's unreal. And the Australian government said, okay. Now, as you're probably aware, most of Australia is pretty much desert, so there's a lot of empty spaces to build their base. But they didn't choose any space. No, no, no. What they did was this. They knew of the importance of latitude values right from the equator. The Great Pyramid itself is chosen on a special latitude. And just out of interest, if you take the latitude from the equator to where the Great Pyramid is, and you divide that by the base length of the Great Pyramid, you get a ratio of 14,400. And this is where you get the harmonics used so that the Great Pyramid can tap into the Earth's energy, right? So we've got this number 14400. Now, in imperial measures, right, what they did was this. They were using a measure called an ideal geographical mile to site the Pine Gap facility. And an ideal geographical mile is 6,000 feet, as I've told you. Now, what they did was they put an arc length displacement from the equator into the southern hemisphere of precisely 1,440 ideal geographical miles. And anybody can validate that. If you go on the internet and you put Pine Gap in and you get the latitude, you will find that in feet, right, in feet, the value from the, this is on the elliptical model of the Earth, from the equator to the latitude is precisely 1,440 ideal geographical miles, or precisely 8,640,000 feet. Now, that determines what latitude they're going to place it at. And that's like a straight line. You could draw a little small circle circumference of the Earth parallel to the equatorial one, which would cut Australia in half, north and south, roughly. That's where they determined the latitude placement. But they wanted to use the Earth itself via resonance to communicate with the Menwith Hill site. Now, the wavelength of the Earth, the fundamental wavelength, the primary one, is the full equatorial circumference of the planet. So what they did was, they divided that by 8, and then multiplied it by 3, right? And if you do that, you get a distance something like 49 million miles or so. What they then did, they stuck the compass needle, so to speak, the apex, right smack bang on the Menwith Hill site, and swept out a circle on the radius of the Earth, right, of that radius, this 49 million feet or so. And that goes right into the southern hemisphere and cuts through your small circle circumference, right, latitude. And where X marks the spot, that is precisely where the Pine Gap facility is located. And it means that just, yeah?
So what does it mean, is that the fact that they did this?
Well, what it means is they are using the Earth itself via resonance to link these sites energetically. It's similar to what Tesla did. When Tesla set up his Colorado lab in 1899, he himself was basing it, his position latitude-wise, on the Great Pyramid. And we know Tesla was interested in tapping into the Earth's energy fields to draw power, which is what the Great Pyramid was about. I mean, the latitude of Tesla's lab is 1.296 times the latitude of the Great Pyramid. So we've got that number again from the base 60 system, 1296. And what this means, and I'm going right to the end of the story here almost, but this facility at Pine Gap and Menwith Hill, and even the Dimona plant and Buckley Air Force Base, which are also part of the same matrix, these are hyperdimensional portal sites. They would be able to communicate with each other, right, through a kind of instantaneous transmission.
Very, very interesting. So that means they can teleport between those sites more easily. Is that right?
Oh, yes. I have no doubt about that, because that's how nuclear weapons work, and that's how earthquakes work.
And let me say to the people listening that this also gets to what you're talking about as goes interplanetary as well, does it not?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And so that you, in some ways, it appears that you're actually proving how they can teleport humans and material interplanetary from here, for example, to Mars, from some of these bases to Mars, and then between the bases themselves, possibly using what we say from Henry Deacon was called a jump room.
I would say that. I mean, jump room, I've heard Stargate, as in the popular TV show. But the Philadelphia experiment, you may be familiar with something that happened during it. The ship on one of the tests disappeared from where they did the tests and transported about 220 miles or so to a different location at one of its berthing docks, and then after about a few minutes went back again. That teleportation event is of exactly the kind that is used between these facilities. You may also be familiar with a story, and again, this hit the news headlines about 25 years ago. World War II bomber found on moon. Now, that was an example of a test that went awry, where they actually...
Oh, that's amazing. No, I never heard this.
I never heard that one. Oh, God.
That's
that
great.
Was actually reproduced in a book by David Hatcher Childress, Anti-Gravity in the World Grid, and it was the article. And as they were doing experiments, you see, during the Second World War, not just with military assets like ships, they were also doing them with planes, and there's a couple other experiments they did with planes as well. 1945 as well, five Avenger planes went missing in mysterious circumstances, and they were also a part of this. They've been doing experiments in teleportation, just the US and other great powers in secret. They've been doing them now for a good 60 years, 70 years easily. They've been investigating this, and I think the early experiments were almost an accident. But you see, the interesting thing is, there was a crossover with the scientists. The scientists working at the Manhattan Project were obviously talking to the scientists at the Philadelphia experiment, because in order to create a nuclear explosion, you are reliant upon what the ancients referred to as the music of the spheres. You have to select bodies, and it's usually the sun. The military usually uses the sun as a means to trigger nuclear weapons through resonance. And what happened when you did the Philadelphia experiment, and I've got some of the data, and this is from Bruce Cathy, who reconstructed the location of one of the tests in terms of latitude and longitude for the area on the Delaware River, and then tied that into where it did the rematerialization, the transportation. And you can show that the arc lengths associated with this in imperial measures, they tie into the same signature arc lengths or close variations as you get with nuclear weapons. This is why when you actually trigger a nuclear weapon, not all of the explosion occurs right there when it goes off. Part of it can either be time delayed and be transmitted in the future, or it can be transmitted instantaneously to other locations manifesting as an earthquake. You may have heard of George Adamski, an early contactee from the 1950s.
Yes.
There was an article I read recently in Nexus magazine. Somebody was talking about Adamski, and Adamski said that when he was contacted by aliens, they told him they did not like us setting off nuclear tests because they could damage their world. Now, how could that be? Well, that could be because when these nuclear tests go off, you can get part of the matter and force of the explosion transmitted not just to locations on the Earth, but off-world through these hyperspatial conduits to other planets.
So in essence, what you're talking about is a nuclear weapon could actually teleport to another location.
You can transmit the explosion, part of it or all of it. There was a retired Colonel Thomas Bearden. He's wrote many works about free energy and so forth. And he actually, in one of his books called The Excalibur Briefing, he mentioned that the Russians had heavily weaponized this kind of physics and even named a facility. I forget what he named, but it was probably Russian and long and unpronounceable. But he named a facility and said that these types of weapons, they could actually generate a nuclear explosion and transmit it in total to a completely different location. And they did it through hyperspace pathways. But the intriguing thing about what Bearden said, and I don't know whether he fully understood this himself, he said that these weapons, the reason why they've not been, they don't have the strategic advantage that you might think, is because you can't just create a nuclear explosion wherever you like and whenever you like. You can only do it when you have chosen the correct celestial configurations of the music of the spheres with regards to the sun locations, right? You can only do it under certain precise times. And as a result, he said that these weapons, they could try to prepare to generate the explosion and transmit it, but you could have hyperspatial flux disrupt the whole thing, and that could last anywhere from 15 minutes to 3 weeks, so you couldn't do it. So what he's telling us there about the ability to transmit nuclear explosions through time and space also would hold true for hyperspatial teleportation of an ordered nature, if we're talking about men and equipment, yeah? This is why transportation between different places on the Earth or even off-world, it's not something that you can do at any time. You are bound by the music of the spheres in the pathways opening up.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's really fascinating. Now, I wonder if you can translate this information to the recent earthquake in Japan and also the nuclear problems they're having. Has that occurred to you, and have you done any investigations with that?
Yes. The thing about earthquakes, Kerry, is they can be predicted years in advance to extreme accuracy. If a person understands the science, and you were to ask them if there was an earthquake, say, over, I don't know, higher than 7.0 going to occur in California in the next year. If they knew what they were talking about and they knew the exact science, they'd come to you and say, right, Kerry, yes, I've determined there will be an earthquake. They will tell you the calendar day. They will tell you the exact time it will hit down to the nearest second of that day. They will tell you the latitude and longitude of the epicenter to an error rate of 2,500 feet maximum. And then they'll tell you a good estimate of the magnitude. And the reason why earthquakes are so precise is because they are determined by a mechanism of the solar system. All of the planets, all of the moons, and especially the sun, they're all engaged in continuous matter transference through hyperspatial pathways. And these massive events occur when you get specific harmonic configurations related to the planets. And if I might, do you want me to give you the analysis of the Japanese earthquake?
Sure, absolutely. I guess we're going to go to commercial right now, but I'd love you to hold on to that thought and let's pick it up on the other side of the commercial.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Freedom Files. Freedom Files. Weekday. Files. Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central.
On American Freedom Radio. Radio.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. We're talking to Keith Hunter. And Keith, right before we went to commercial, you were finishing a thought. Could you continue on that same line?
I'm going to give you the analysis of the Japanese earthquake and how it was caused by the sun and the moon, primarily, and how this science works. Now, earthquakes, just like the astrologers of the ancient world said, they are caused by the positions of the planets. They're caused by the energetic influences of them, especially the sun and the moon. And the mechanism is what physicists know as resonance. And I'll just give your listeners a bit of a brief intro on this one. If you have a body, which is a source body, and it's vibrating, and it's causing a disturbance through a medium, propagating a frequency, an energetic waveform. If that hits a target body and it strikes the natural frequency of that target body, what happens is those wave-like disturbances incoming start to agitate the target body, and they set up inside it what we call standing waves. Those wave disturbances will all have, as well as a frequency, a wavelength, a straight line distance between peak to peak or trough to trough. And what happens is you will have the dimensions of the target object. And those wavelengths, right, will enter into it and set up and reflect back internally. And they will fit inside it, right, a certain number of times to establish what we call a series of harmonics. It's like if you've got an object that's like 6 feet. You could have wave-like disturbances, each one of like a foot in length, right? So it fits in six times if it impinges on it, just by way of example. Now, when you get these standing waves set up, they have an excited amplitude level, right? You could have a harmonic of 4 ripples, 5, 6, or so forth. But these standing waves are very dangerous. The object becomes agitated when these standing waves start to get reflected back internal. And if the power is enough, the amplitude of the waves break the object into, or even more, they cause the object to physically fail. Now, bearing all that in mind, let's look at the Japanese earthquake. Let's go to an unimpeachable source, which will be the Australian government's own official natural hazards database, right? They give the coordinates of the earthquake 38.322 degrees north, 142.369 degrees east. And they give the precise time, universal time, 11th of March 2011, 5 hours, 46 minutes and 24 seconds. Precision in terms of knowing where the epicenter is and also the time down to the nearest second is critical. With that universal time, you can put it in an astronomy package, and right there at that instant, you can work out the locations of all the other bodies relative to the Earth. So let's look at the Sun. If we draw a straight line from the centre of the Sun to the centre of the Earth at that precise time, right, that line will pierce through the surface of the Earth. And that's what you call the Sun ground position. And it will be defined by some precise latitude and longitude coordinates, yes? Now, if you use a program, you could even use the US Naval Observatory's own software on this. And you wouldn't go far wrong if you got a Sun ground position of latitude 3.86608 and a longitude, that is actually Sun latitude south of the equator, and a longitude 95.94222 east. So we've got two latitude and longitude coordinates. One for the epicenter of the earthquake, one for the Sun ground position at the exact moment the earthquake hit. Now we use the Earth ellipsoid model, the WGS-84 model, our most advanced. And if you work out the arc length connecting up both of those locations, in feet, it's 21,913,544 feet. Now, if you use the equatorial circumference of the Earth, remember, the Earth is the object that is agitated. It is the target object. It is put under stress because the Sun is sending out a wave which is energetically agitating the Earth, right? And if you take the fundamental dimension of the Earth, which is the equatorial circumference, and you divide that by the arc length I've just mentioned, connecting the epicenter to the Sun ground position, the precise answer you get is 5.9999291. In other words, it fits in six times into the wavelength of the planet, into the planet's fundamental dimension. There's your harmonic right there, there is standing waves, and there is your resonant destruction, targeted precisely on that interval. Now, you might want to wonder why that interval. Because if you worked out the Moon ground position, right, and you connected up the epicenter of the earthquake to that, the ratio between that arc length, right, and the Sun ground position one is 2.6, which is a fraction 13 over 5. So you end up with a complex harmonic convergence right on the epicenter, and it is triggering what is a matter transfer between worlds. It's like a safety valve. All the planets in the solar system in their natural movements, right, occasionally go into a state of stress. Their orbits get into a stressful state, and they become agitated. And as a result, to stabilize and balance the system, you have a matter transfer. You have a continuous matter transfer between all the planets, right? And these balance the system. And when you get major earthquakes, these are large matter transfers, and they result in high-yield earthquakes. And so this configuration for the earthquake in Japan was precisely timed, and you could have easily have, forecast it years in advance, provided you know the power of the pattern.
Okay, we will be back after this commercial. Sorry for the interruption here, and pick this up again. I have several questions in this regard.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Control the output.
Hangar is in control.
Good. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Engage.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we are talking to Keith Hunter. And just before the break, we were talking about the cause of the Japanese earthquake. Keith, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, great. And I listened to what you had to say very with quite a bit of attention, and I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What I want to know is what caused the pressure on the sun, in whether it's an orbital pressure or not, that caused it to release a standing wave that would then trigger an earthquake in Japan.
Well, in this instance, it's basically a mechanism of the solar system itself. is in the natural course of the orbits of the planets around the sun, right? They're all going to enter into periodically stressful states. And this is why you see all these strange phenomena, like animals dying or just before an earthquake, or you see strange auroral formations or, you know, cloud formations and things like that. Yeah. All of these, or even human sensitives, they are picking up on the fact that the vibrations which are emanated by all the planets are singing. They're all raining down their signatures and radiating them out, right? And when they interact in certain ways of a stressful state, the planets become agitated in resonance. This is a very natural phenomena, right?
And okay, what happened? We don't naturally have 9.0 earthquakes in this area of Japan necessarily. So what I would say is it had to be extra aggravated by something. And I'm wondering whether, I mean, I assume you're familiar with HARP, and you must have heard the theories about HARP and the scalar waves and so on. But if you know about this model that you're talking about, that basically in some ways sounds almost like viewing the universe or the solar system as a sort of a clock and going through its paces, that something is aggravating it, whether it be a super wave, as Paul LaViolette's talking about, or whether it be a targeted hit on what you know is going to be a weakness or a small earthquake at a minimum at that place, at that precise place. If you were to aim a weapon such as a scalar wave at that place, then you could, in essence, up the amps of the earthquake or the magnitude.
You're absolutely right in that, Kerry. In terms of causing an earthquake that wouldn't ordinarily be very powerful or getting the amplitude cranked up, you're right. And I do believe weapons do exist to cause earthquakes. My own studies seem to suggest, however, that if you see precursors towards an event, such as sensitives picking up on it several days in advance, oral phenomena and so forth, to me that indicates it's more than likely natural. If there are no precursors, I'd suggest it could be artificial. As far as earthquakes of high magnitude go, on average you do get about one a year. If we were to get about five or six, when I say one a year, that's 8.0 and above one a year. If you were to get about five or six a year, then yes, I'd be very tempted to think something's going on. As far as the aggravating the earthquakes go, for me, it is an entirely natural mechanism of the solar system. Right.
Okay. There is a short break here, and then we'll be back for a much longer segment. Please stay tuned.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkeley water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkeley banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. We're talking to Keith Hunter about the earthquake in Japan and the harmonics of the universe, so to speak. Keith, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm also looking at some other areas of your book, and I don't want to belabor certain points because what I want to do is make sure to touch on various areas that I think are absolutely fascinating. And I have to say that I don't know what's going on with you, but nothing in your background indicates that you would be able to handle all of this information and put it all together. And so I'm basically thinking you were abducted by ETs at some point in your development.
Well,
otherwise, part of a secret government project in which you got loose.
Well, actually, I'd have to say I'm a totally boring person and I've never had any experience of any weird aliens. And I don't know anybody that works in government except the fact that I do, but I'm a civil servant in nothing to do with this area. It's all boring admin work for me, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, we'll see about that in the future. But at any rate, and you can hear my cat talking in the background here. So what I want to know is you also talk about the pyramids on Mars and how there's a correspondence with the Great Pyramid, and
oh, yes,
that the ancients would have used those two as devices that pick up the energy from their respective planets, and then from there possibly you could transport certainly souls or individuals and or people with sorry, my cat is very loud here. Or things, in other words, physical materials.
Yes, it's like I said with the Great Pyramid. The positioning of the device relative to whatever celestial body you're placing it on is critical. You will have to use special arc length measures to get it from the equator of the planet up to either north or south of the latitude. Or ratios associated with the body itself. And in fact, I'll tell you exactly how the Great Pyramid was sighted. You know the tropical year increase from 365, yeah, to the present one? That ratio, if you just multiply it by 10, that's how they determine the Great Pyramid. The small circle circumference at the latitude of the Great Pyramid, divided by the arc length from that latitude to the equator, is 10 times the ratio of increase for the tropical year. So the similar thing went on with this pyramid of Mars. You know the D&M pyramid, Kerry? Five-sided.
Well, yes, I believe I know which one you mean.
Yeah, it's near the face. Now, the face, I didn't choose to analyse that because that's more of an artistic structure, if you like. But the geometry of the pyramids was very interesting. And again, I'll tell you exactly how they sited that pyramid. It was all about a special ratio. Again, I'm using Richard Hoagland's latitude placement here. He noted it down as 40.893 degrees north of the equator. And if we use our model for Mars, and you can cite that from like the Astronomical Almanac associated with the US Naval Observatory, so we use an accurate model. The ratio between the small circle circumference at the latitude of that five-sided pyramid and the equator of Mars, if you do the division sum, the one you'll get on your calculator is 0.71999, and then a few other numbers, which is an intended 0.72. Now, again, if you multiply that by 2, you've got 1.44, and that's the ratio associated with the Great Pyramid. That structure on Mars, the pyramids there, though, they look to be in a state of ruin. They might have been there for millions of years, but it seems to me that, you know, if you were going to set up some sort of transmission between different bodies, between two sites, you would need to very carefully position them, tying them together with special ratios and arc lengths associated with whatever bodies they're on to allow for the hyperspatial transmissions.
I think some people will even be confused when you use the words hyperspatial transmissions. What you mean is a communication between the two, is that right?
Yes. Essentially, it's like our reality, as I understand it, is intermittent. As Tom Bearden says, no object persists in time. And so you're talking about instantaneous manifestations, but they're all done periodically with slight displacement, and that's how your objects seem to move or change form or age or so forth. And what Bearden talks about himself is that there are subdomain regions, right, beyond critical thresholds, which allow for faster-than-light travel, right? And what I'm saying is, when you are dealing with these pulsed magnetic fields, like on the Philadelphia experiment, when you are dealing with certain types of energetic fields and rotations, you interrupt the very rate of existence of objects, the rate at which they exist in time. And you can cause them to latch on to hyperspatial pathways of these subdomain regions. They then are shifted via a principle, you could say, of, you know, like a principle of least action, or like you've got a potential difference between two locations, but a unique one. They latch on to the path of least resistance. And if you've uniquely established that between two points, you transmit your object that you've interrupted its frequency base with to this second object, and it re-emerges there, but it's essentially instantaneous, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's very cool description there. And I do understand to some degree what you're saying, which I think is really, really fascinating. I think that it would be very interesting to have you discuss with Richard Hoagland these principles and see where you go with it, because I'm not sure that he is actually tapped into, or at least has not publicly acknowledged, what, you know, the depth of what you're saying, which indicates that there, in a sense, there's a jumping off point between the Great Pyramid and this pyramid on Mars, and that there's some special relationship. You even call it a pairing in your book.
Yeah.
That would indicate something more than what we've even touched on here.
Well, it's like, you know, let's talk about resonance, and how we can have one target object vibrate and it sends a signal through some medium, and if it's the natural signal of the other one, it causes that to vibrate. You're talking about some kind of connection like that, only the rates, what you're actually doing with the objects is you're somehow tapping into frequencies which are under like a, or you know, beyond a certain threshold of our light realm, if you like, and they travel faster than light, but you're manipulating time itself to cover distance, right? And it's, if you can travel to a place in zero time, it's like if you've got like a million cycles per second or whatever, or a million steps to get from one point to another, right? That'll take you so long. But if you can like just reduce it to you withdraw into the zero universe, and instead of your next cycle being just slightly displaced, it's massively displaced. This is the thing about nuclear explosions. Just give you an example. There was a massive nuclear test done at one of the Aleutian Islands called Kanakin in 1971. And I did an analysis of that. And most of the explosion, 5 megatons, did occur right up on schedule. But it caused a second explosion, which was actually manifested as an earthquake, at exactly the same coordinates about 2 days later. And that earthquake, you can analyze that just like the explosion. And there's a special celestial signature with the sun associated with it. It's like when they did the reaction, when they caused the explosion, imploded the plutonium core to critical, to supercritical state, what they did was interfere with the very rate of existence of the matter. Most of the explosion occurred, but some of the explosion was literally transmitted into the future. Now, just as you can get a transmission to the future, you can also get a spatial displacement. You could, instead of transmitting to the future, you could have part of the explosion instantaneously occur at another location, either at the same, you know, on the same planet or on another planet. Yeah, and if you order it... Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I'm saying, so you could actually... Like when the scientists were doing experiments with planes and ships, getting them to transport, obviously they are doing the same things, but they're not going for destructive effects like nuclear weapons. There was an interesting alchemist, I believe his name was Zosimus, 4th century, and he was talking about how to prepare potions and elixirs, and he was saying that his colleagues, his fellow alchemists, needed to be careful on how they did it, because although he could be in his laboratory and he could prepare the potion and do everything technically perfect, he said the potion won't mean anything, it won't be energetic unless, and he was talking about a specific potion, he said, unless he did it at the right moment when the moon was in the correct position in the sky relative to him right there, so his influences could come all the way down, even into his laboratory, to energize the potion. And he's basically saying, in order for the energetic signature to activate his potion, he's got to create his potion at the right time in accordance with the music of the spheres. And nuclear scientists are just like alchemists. They've got to activate their nuclear weapon when the specific celestial body they're using, usually the sun, is in the correct angular position relative to their device. Because if they don't,
I would say black magicians, white magicians as well, have been using this principle in their work from time immemorial, and also how plants grow, the times when you plant seeds by the moon and so on and so forth. There's been, of course, there's a whole tradition that gravitates around things like that, or although they may have lost that sense of what you're really talking about, which is the idea of the energy coming through these hyperspatial pathways, as you mentioned. Now, I'm wondering if you can also talk about CERN, and then I also would like you to touch on again the nuclear reactor in Israel and how that's positioned in such a way.
I have to say I know partly nothing about this. So you're talking about the Large Hadron Collider, is that?
Yes.
Yeah, I know practically nothing about that. In honesty, I don't understand those devices.
I mean, you should definitely look into that. In my view,
I mean, the thing about things like that, they're talking about what gives, what is it, this Higgs boson particle, what gives matter mass or something. And some
but
of the stuff's physics.
I mean, the placement of the plant.
Or the placement of the plant. I'd have to look into that. And it's a massive circular one. It's about 60 miles in circumference or diameter or something like that.
Right. Geneva, right in the vicinity of Lake Geneva.
I know Bruce Cathy did an analysis of some similar plant a few decades ago. So he's come up with some ideas about how the dimensions of them are tied into this physics, but I'm not entirely certain what they'd be wanting to achieve there. It sounds like, to me, it's a bit like, you know how NASA's got rockets it fires up, but at the same time they've got a secret space program and all the anti-gravity stuff way ahead of it.
Yes.
I kind of wonder whether or not this CERN thing is a kind of all for show and is part of orthodox science and they're already light years behind, you know, light years in front of that.
Okay.
So that's my take on that one. If you want me to move on, though, to the Israeli side, that's
easy. Why don't you go there then?
Well, it's very much similar to what happened with the establishment of Pine Gap relative to Menwith Hill. What the thing about the Israeli site is it was built by the French in 1958. The Israelis approached them, I believe, in 56 with the Suez Crisis going on, because there was a bit of an alliance going on between France, Britain, and the Israelis when they were against Egypt for nationalising things. But the Israelis then approached the French and they asked them to build a site. Now, I have to say, at first shot, I'm not entirely certain whether the Israelis understood or appreciated the significance of what the French did for them. Because although it's built as just a nuclear reactor, it can't just be a nuclear reactor. It just can't. Because it is tied into the same matrix, if you like, the same arc length considerations tied into Pine Gap, Menwith Hill, nuclear weapons, everything like that. And it's a classic example of positioning where the Israelis use basically two sites, or rather the French use two sites to triangulate the location of the reactor. One of them is the Great Pyramid, and the other one is, and this is what really annoyed certain US interests, the Menwith Hill site. Now, the Menwith Hill site had just been built in 1954, so this was about 4 years later. And if you Google it, right on Google Earth, the Israeli Negev Nuclear Research Facility, and the coordinates are around about 31 degrees north, 35 degrees east. But you can zoom in and get far more accurate ones. Now, here's what the French did for the Israelis. In order to position it, they took a look at the Great Pyramid and Stonehenge. And they looked at the arc length separating these structures. And they knew it was energetically significant, expressed in feet, right? The actual arc length of it was 11,809,800 feet. A bit of a mouthful, but what they did basically, they took that arc length, right, separating the Great Pyramid and Stonehenge, and they simply divided it by 9, right? They simply divided that value by 9, because it's like a harmonic. If the fundamental wavelength is energetically significant, then a fraction of it is also significant. So they divided it by 9, and this gives them a value, basically, of 1,312,200 feet. And then they drew out a circle of that radius from the Great Pyramid, right, all the way around the Earth, on the Earth, that radius. And that circle arcs right through the state of Israel, coincidentally. That's why they chose a 9th fraction, because the circumference of that circle arcs right through Israel. So the French knew they were going to build this plant somewhere on that arc. But where exactly? Well, this is where Menwith Hill comes in. And again, if you actually go on and you put the coordinates for Menwith Hill site in and the coordinates for the Israeli plant in, and you work out the arc length between them on the WGS-84 ellipsoid model, you'll get a value of something like, about 12,754,000 or so. I don't want to get too involved in all every number going. But basically, if you use the same number 9, basically to just divide through, you realize that that value is a part of a very important mathematical progression. If you keep on dividing by 9, you do it 5 times, for example, you've now got 215.99, which is bang on 216, practically. Then you go to 24, and then you go to 2.6666. And remember the ratio between Pine Gap and Menwith Hill to the Earth? 8 over 3, or 2.6 recurring. So that triangulates.
Again, the 2.6. Okay. When we come back, let's continue this discussion.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Hold on.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Bushu comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health info plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
No rules.
No rules.
No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are.
We are.
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Him, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
From Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Keith Hunter. And Keith, we were just finishing up with our discussion, although I'm sure there's a lot more to be talked about, in regard to the Israeli power nuclear reactor that's in the Negev Desert. and the positioning with regard to Menwith Hill, and I believe
the Great Pyramid.
And the Great Pyramid.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's absolutely fascinating. And as you said, what that facilitates is a portal being created, in essence, on that location as well.
Yes, I would say that that location is exactly like Pine Gap, Menwith Hill, or Buckley Air Force Base. It will be like a hyperdimensional portal facility. And I think this is what annoyed the U.S. interests, because they wanted their weapons inspectors or their own people to go to the site and have a look what's going on, and because they thought obviously it were a nuclear reactor. And if you actually look on the website on Google, it's not called a nuclear reactor, and I believe that's intentional, because it's a result in certain aid from the U.S. being cut off, because it's not supposed to have nuclear facilities in this way. That's why it's called a nuclear research center. But the Israelis were playing a bit fun and games here. They're putting up false walls when inspectors were there. And they only wanted to allow U.S. personnel on site, but no personnel from other countries. I think that the U.S. is essential. The reason for all the aid going to Israel is because they're kind of like buying access to that site. They want their own people there. And I think this is essentially like wiretapping. Because these structures are at certain precise distances, what the Israelis could do there could affect what's going on at Menwith Hill or Pine Gap. So they'd want some kind of involvement in that site. That's my theory anyway.
No, you know, these things are really excellent sort of synchronicities that you're pointing out. And I have to say that these cannot have been overlooked by the secret government and the powers that be. I have to say that they must be completely aware of this sort of pattern that you've discovered, and therefore they can also sort of figure it out for the entire planet, and then they can utilize it, as you say. And in a certain sense, if you say that it can also be affected by the positions of the planets, then what you're talking about is that they will need more than one, because if you can't teleport from one location because of a certain positioning of the planets, then
well, I think
they can do that from another, right?
Well, what I'm thinking is all these sites, you can theoretically move between them and even off world, but basically you are bound by the configurations of the planets. Just like Bearden was saying, the difficulties the Russians face with transmitting a nuclear explosion through hyperspace. If they wanted to generate an explosion at a facility in Russia and then transmit it to another location to attack somebody, say, at a certain position around the other side of the world, they could only do that if the positions of the planets allowed for them to generate the explosion first. A resonant harmonic was present right on their site, and they could utilize one for it to emerge at another location. And so you've got like windows of opportunity when you can engage in hyperspatial transfers.
But if you're familiar with the work, for example, of Richard Hoagland, this is where the magicians come in, because they are in fact targeting those sort of points of opportunity, if you will, and they did the same thing with so-called space travel that they've engaged in. Wow, are you there?
Yeah. I lost all of my
lights just went out here. Completely in the darkness. This is really bizarre.
All right.
Okay. But my
if mine go out, I'll tell you.
So we're definitely blowing some circuits here. Now I have some people asking some questions, and so before the end of the show, I need to run these questions by you. Did you have something else you wanted to say in that regard?
I was just going to say one little point. You know, you've often heard the work of Zechariah Sitchin and other people talk about a return of the gods, and so to speak, and extraterrestrials visiting us. There's a very interesting article in the latest Nexus magazine about a book called The Chronicle of Akakor, and it was all about the South American Indian tribes. And one of them gave this German journalist an account of some of their mythologies and so forth. And it was a very interesting statement he made. It was talking about a great destruction that occurred about 12,000 years ago and another one that occurred about 6,000 years later. And he said that, and I'll just read this point out. He says here, regarding these extraterrestrials, he said, the strangers said their home was called Schwerter, a world far distant in the depths of the universe where their ancestors lived and from where they had to come to bring their knowledge to other worlds. Our priests say that it was a powerful empire made up of many planets, as numerous as grains of dust on the road. And they also say that both worlds, that of our former masters and the earth itself, meet one another every 6,000 years. Then the gods return. Now, I think that those kinds of 6,000 intervals will be based upon certain planetary configurations which open up the necessary hyperspatial pathways from our solar system to another star system. And I think that's what a lot of these prophecies about the gods returning, and when they give these significant numbers like 6,000 years or 3,600 years, I think they're referring to special configurations that allow for interstellar travel between certain star systems and ours. I thought that was an interesting point to make.
Wow,
it means
that's awesome. You know, that's really fascinating. And I have to say, I think there's a link up with the Anunnaki, especially with regard to this nuclear plant in Israel being much more than a nuclear reactor, if that isn't enough. And I have to say that you've also done your research with regard to the ancient sites around the world, and so there's a lot more we could talk about in that regard, but I do have a few questions I need to get to here on behalf of the listeners who are in the chat room asking questions, and then we could also open up the phone lines just for this last half hour, if you don't mind, because people are starting to have all kinds of questions, one of which is that you talked about how an earthquake could be predicted. So in essence, what that means is that someone with the right equipment could be predicting these earthquakes. Isn't that right? Very precise.
That's absolutely correct. You can predict earthquakes to split-second accuracy years in advance, location and timing.
And now, with that in mind, does that mean that you can do that, or do you...
Not me personally, no. But in my book, I do actually write a special appendix section explaining the nature of the problem. And I'm fully, you know, of the opinion that the powers that be in the military who went into nuclear science beginning in the 30s and 40s have built up an extensive amount of knowledge on how the hyperspatial pathways are transmitted, are transmitting matter between bodies and the configurations, because it is ultimately a musical science, and how they do cause earthquakes. And I think that some earthquakes have been predicted accurately, and that is why you've had certain moves, preliminary moves by people to, like, move their ships out of the way or recall their diplomats from a country just, you know, before an earthquake strikes. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that those people caused that earthquake, but they may well have accurately forecast it. Do you know what I mean? And this is why.
Absolutely.
This is the difficulty.
Well, they're still guilty of, you know, of criminal behavior if they move out of the way and leave the rest to sort of fend for themselves.
Oh, yeah. That's absolutely correct. They don't want to reveal science.
Okay, but in other words, this sounds like it's fairly sophisticated mathematics, which perhaps you need a special computer to do. What I'm asking you is whether or not you've done this for in even the recent, you know, the upcoming future with regard to earthquakes.
The complexity of it is so great. You're right about the computing aspect. There's no software package on the market right now that correctly models this. And you might not have the power with a desktop computer, because the greatest movement is the Earth on its axis. And you've got to consider all the planets, the ground positions of the planets, as I've detailed, right? If you model all those little dots on the Earth's spherical shell and the ellipsoid shell and the Earth moving around, the trick is to know which point upon the Earth will become activated and become the focal point for an earthquake based upon all the arc lengths linking the other planets to that point. And that's the difficulty. All I personally have been able to achieve is static analysis so far. But if you're asking me if I could predict an earthquake in the future, the answer is no. But I don't, you know, realize it could be done. In fact, I'm positive it has been done. And these people know how to do it.
Okay, thank you. And I think there's no doubt about it based on what you're describing, that the secret government, with the kind of technology that they do have, must have been doing this and must be doing this as we speak. Mm-hmm. That means that they know where something is going to happen, and they can be prepared for it in many, many ways that you can only dream of. What about the notion of what's going on with regard to Japan, to the earthquakes and the volcanic eruptions? I mean, I'm assuming that a volcanic eruption may also be predictable in this way.
I did an analysis, I think, of Mount St. Helens, and I think the latitude of that was very significant. This is a few years ago, and I'm just thinking, I hope this is right. I think it was something like 21,600 feet up from the Earth's equator, which is, again, a part of this system. I think that's right. I hope I'm not getting missing my facts wrong, because you just put me on the spot here, and this is an analysis I did a few years ago.
Sure.
But I do think certain volcanoes are tied into this, but they're a lot harder to predict. I know the Mauna Lea, the one in Hawaii, I think Richard Hoagland has got some kind of triangular geometry for one of the platonic solids related to that, and he's done work on that. That's not an area I've looked into, but I think they too can be triggered by this sort of stuff, you know. But earthquakes are a lot more precise. I think geological formations like that are a lot harder to really judge.
Okay.
A lot harder to judge.
Okay, fine. Now, the idea of teleportation, is there any limits to this that other than the window that you're aware of, in terms of the size of what can be teleported? In other words, does it have to be just like one box, or could it be, I don't know, could it be a huge building? Could it be, do you know what I'm saying?
Well, if you look at the Philadelphia experiment, they actually got an entire ship to teleport. So I think that was 306 feet long, the DE-173 destroyer. So it's all a question of getting the object to resonate. But the thing is, I suppose every object's got a different natural frequency, and the great danger, and this is what one of the witnesses that came forward or was mentioned in Charles Berlitz's book, The Philadelphia Experiment Project Invisibility, when they got that ship and they turned on the equipment and it went invisible, the men, some of them reported going to strange dimensions, talking to alien creatures. Others seem to freeze up, disappear, merging with bulkheads. They all had different experiences. Some were staggering around as if they were drunk. And it was all based upon, I suppose, the condition of their souls, maybe. What they were like as men, and how they were forced into a sort of vibration, you know, which tapped into their natural frequencies. So it's one of these uncontrolled things almost. If you're trying to transport one thing from one place to another, you've got to try and do it safely. Get the whole thing there without forcing people into other realms by mistake.
Absolutely. So this actually gets into the notion, I think that you could extrapolate this to actually be something of an explanation for ascension. Okay. We're going to another break, and we'll have another 15 minutes and then the end of the show, and we'll be right back.
Natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Warning. American Freedom Radio. This habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. Live worldwide weekdays 5 till 7 Central. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. But out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train.
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are talking to Keith Hunter. We're on the last 10 minutes of the show. Keith, this has actually been really, really fascinating stuff. For the last remaining time here, is there anything that you want to cover that maybe hasn't been asked? Or that you've done some special investigations into that we should talk about.
Well, to be quite honest, there's not enough time left now, but I've done a lot of work on the Mayan lung count and investigating the cycles there. And I've managed to tie in the major cycles to planetary conjunctions and some very important discoveries in uncovering the solutions to some of their myths. And one of the things I'm currently investigating is this possibility of massive solar activity. And I've managed to to find connections between the 1859 solar flare event and what could happen in 2012. The astronomical patterns are intriguing, to say the least, and that's what I'm evaluating in the moment, because I find they are tied into the Mayan calendar. And it could be everything, it could be nothing, but that's what I'm investigating in the moment, because the mathematics of their cycles ties into these ideal values of the base 60 system, and it's tied into this advanced work on earthquakes and matter transfer, and I believe that's what could trigger these events. And again, they could be triggered by high precision. So that's what I'm looking into at the moment. On just another related note, you said just before the break regarding the teleportation events and about ascension. As I said, I'm into also Gnosticism and that kind of stuff. And just as a matter of point, you might have heard of a 2nd or 3rd century Gnostic text called the Pistis Sophia. And in it, various light realms are described in hierarchy. And one of the lowest realms is called the Outer Darkness, which is generally referred to as Hell and so forth. And it's interesting, the description given, because when you think about what you could achieve with these pulse frequencies, you could actually go down to these lower realms. And the description of the Outer Darkness is uncanny. When Jesus is asked about it in the dialogue of this text, he says that the Outer Darkness is a great dragon whose tail is in its mouth. And he says there are 12 mighty chastisement dungeons within it, and each one has a ruler. But the rulers change their faces every hour. But the rulers are one in the other, so that if you speak any one of their names, you speak them all. And that is to do with harmonics. When you speak one name, you trigger the whole set.
Okay, and very good.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm thinking you can get locked into these low frequencies if you are experimenting with teleportation. It's not just a safe way to go from one point to another instantaneously. You can go to other realms, and you can be locked into these frequencies. And so you could literally send somebody to hell, so to speak. And that's the danger. There was I think Stephen Greer actually was talking to a witness, and they said they had actually equipment where they could pierce through to some of these lower realms with the correct frequencies and even capture some of these demonic beings. I know it seems so far out to go down that road, but it is backed up by some pretty damn good science. But it's of a very esoteric nature. Very deep mysteries are involved in that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and the actual way that you're...
I would say they're doing that beneath the Vatican from time to time.
Yeah. is there any more questions? Does anybody have any more questions on your...
Yes, we have people with questions, yeah. and so what I would like to do is yeah. take one of those questions. So I'm going to... we've got someone calling from area code 416. You're on the air with Keith Hunter and Carrie Cassidy.
Hello, Keith. Hello, Carrie.
Hello.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not too bad.
Very good. I'd like to ask maybe a question that may not be as outer worldly, but maybe a little bit more on the lighter side of the more practical aspects of day-to-day life. I mean, with everything that you guys have seen and with all your experience, How do you manage from day to day in your relationships, and then that I know must be under such strain? I know that mine are. I mean, from day to day, I almost see people that I know and love, and aspects of myself that seem to be guards changing of the hour, as you sort of put it very poetically, Mr. Hunter. And I just wanted to ask, knowing that these seem to be almost ebbs and flows of cosmic forces, is there anything that you guys have found that has been sort of like a lighthouse that have kind of took you through that kind of tumultuous stuff with maybe, you know, whether it be partners or friends or, you know, fellow coworkers or your peers and so forth, and remain at that
Yeah.
And have that remain with a sense of decorum, with a sense of...
Okay, we have only 3 minutes for him to answer, so please go ahead.
I mean, you're talking to a guy, me, and I've practically got no social life. So, and in terms of friends or colleagues that might help me through it, I'd have to say, I don't talk to them about it. Even people at work, I just mentioned just a few days ago about, for example, cancer cures. And about B17 is a suppressed cancer cure. And I just said to somebody at work, we're in a meeting, you know, I said, it's been massively suppressed. And you know, they thought pharmaceutical was to make money. And they had that strange look in their eye. They just couldn't believe what I was saying. It's like we're in a totally different world from them. If you've not come across, like, what is generally conspiracy theories, as we call it, you're just in a different world. Do you know what I mean? You can't talk to people about it.
Well, that's the shift is happening everywhere, and I can't wait to hear your results of your investigations, Keith Hunter. And I'll have to have you back on the show. You'll have to keep in touch with me. We're going to try to do an interview off on live stream at another time. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot. Keith, can you give your website?
Yes, their website is called AncientWorldMysteries.com, and that's dashes between the words, so it's Ancient-World-Mysteries.com. On there, the analysis of the Japanese earthquake is on in full.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with used potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Ready to go. The all out. Good to go. Good.
Fire.
Roger, copy.
3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.